Shakespeare on the Rocks will celebrate its 30th season in the theater at the Chamizal National Memorial. The festival opens with a new production of Macbeth next weekend, followed by The Comedy of Errors and A Midsummer Night's Dream. Here to tell us all about this year's Shakespeare on the Rocks festival are David Mills, Amanda Vasquez, Didi Dominguez, and John Robledo. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thank you for having us.
So, David, 30 years.
I know, and I was in the very first production, so I feel every one of those 30 years I've earned all my gray hairs.
Well, they can't see it, but there's a lot of it, right?
I'm getting there, Dave.
So this year's series seems like a lot of fun. You brought back some big hits.
Well, we always like to mix up the comedies and the tragedies. So we start off with a big, heavy tragedy with Macbeth. And then The Comedy of Errors is just a lot of fun. And we end with A Midsummer Night's Dream, which is kind of the perennial favorite. It's the show that started the festival back in 1981. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's been part of the season for 20 of the 30 years. So we haven't done it in about 7 years, but it had been produced a lot. So it's always been an audience favorite, so we want to bring it back.
You've got a lot of young talent here with you.
We do indeed. There's a whole new generation on stage.
And how do you find each other?
Well, I should let the actors tell you about that. I mean, we actually have brought some people back from the past as well.
My first season with Shakespeare on the Rocks was 1999. I was a senior in high school, and I was cast in Midsummer Night's Dream.
How, that's funny.
And I was quickly ousted. It was so fast. I was a high school student, and I was put in the Green Theater, but I started back as a senior in high school, off and on. I think this is maybe the fourth or fifth season I do with Shakespeare on the Rocks, and I'm so excited. I am Lady Macbeth in Macbeth, so super excited.
Yeah, and then I started with Shakespeare on the Rocks, I want to say 2009. I can never remember because I went back and forth to different places for a second. But I had always been doing theater at the Playhouse during that time, and so Didi and I actually ended up in a show together. And so when I was given the opportunity to direct Macbeth, I don't know what David or Hector are thinking, but when they gave me that fabulous opportunity, I couldn't think of anybody else. So she was one of the first phone calls I made. I was like, oh, my God, I'm directing Macbeth. And, oh, my God, you had to be Lady Macbeth. And she was like, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah,
no, I was so excited. I still am. It's, like, such an awesome role. I get to be the evil villain. It's so much fun.
And then John Robledo was actually referred to me by several of my other cast members, because as soon as they said, go ahead, I kind of already had my cast in mind, and to be honest, I kind of already said, hey, if I get this chance, would you be this? Would you be this? Would you be this? And my four main characters were all like, absolutely, yeah, no problem. Don't worry about it. So Vanessa Kaiser, whom is Macbeth, I have cast a woman as the lead role. So Macbeth will be played as a woman by a woman. She and Jonathan Cantrell, whom is playing Macduff, they both kind of threw the name John Robledo out there. And so that's where he steps in. And I was like, I think I know him. And you've done stuff at the Playhouse as well.
Oh, yeah. I've not done stuff at the Playhouse, but I have done work with Shakespeare on the Rocks in the past.
Right.
I did my first season with them way back in 2014. I was in two shows then. I was in Dr. Faustus, which, of course, is not a Shakespeare play, but it still fit very well with their season that year. And I played the Pope and the Demon of Greed. I'm sure there's no irony in that whatsoever. And that same year, I also was in Hamlet. And that was how I got to work with Vanessa, actually. I played a relatively small part. I was Osric, who in the original Shakespeare script is basically just there for one scene. And he's a little funny side character. They kind of slightly expanded his role because they had shortened the cast quite a bit just due to the nature of the stage. So Osric became a slightly larger character because he became one of the servants who was in a lot of different scenes.
Nice.
Even though I had my one big scene that was in the original play, I also had all these other little bits I would pop up
in,
and that was a lot of fun.
Having to have cut my first script, that's one of the most beautiful things I found about Shakespeare, is the fact that
you can
do that. You are allowed to make a conversation between eight servants into a monologue if you absolutely have to, you know.
Yes.
And it happens in my show quite a bit.
Now, David, what were you thinking when you gave the reins to Amanda?
Well, because we've been doing this for a long time, we thought it was time to maybe try a few new things.
Mm-hmm.
And we typically do traditional productions. They're set in the original time that Shakespeare's company would have done it, in Renaissance costumes. And so we thought, well, maybe we should try something a little different. And we've done this in the past, but we put out a call for proposals to the acting community, and we got this very intriguing proposal for Macbeth. So we thought, you know, why not?
And we're still diabolically laughing over here.
Now, let's talk about the other two plays that are part of the series. You've got A Comedy of Errors, which, John, you're in as well.
Yes.
And that happens a lot, right? You guys play multiple roles throughout the series.
All the time.
Yes.
We're always
yes.
doing many different. All of us in Shakespeare all wear many different hats.
Well, in theory, it's a repertory company. So in theory, everybody should be in all three plays. In practicality, because most people have lives, I mean, they have jobs or they're students,
right.
it's impractical for people to devote that much time. But even if they're not on stage in a play, they may be backstage helping with costume changes or out front as ushers. So
selling tickets, promoting the shows.
Yeah, so.
Right. All of it.
Yeah. All of
no
it.
Job is too small in theater.
That's
what I've learned.
Exactly. They're all needed. But,
and then when you say yes to a show, you got to know that it's the whole package, that you can't just, I can only be at this rehearsal. No, if you say yes to the show, you got to do all of these other things.
Well, let's talk about that. How do you balance that? Because it's not an easy feat. I mean, you've got three shows at different times, and you've got to learn the scripts.
Yes.
And if you're not in the production, you're
We only rehearse for 10 days. Yeah, there's only 10 rehearsals.
Yeah,
we only get 10
rehearsals.
It's
wild
days.
Having that little time to rehearse every
So However, the self-discipline is amazing.
I will say that auditions were held back in the spring.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
So actors know what roles they have, and we expect them to, if not be
homework,
off
right?
book, to do a fair amount of homework.
Yes.
So they've read the play, they're familiar with their character, they've started to learn their lines. So when they come to the first rehearsal, they're prepared.
Yes.
Is that true, guys?
Yes.
For the most part.
Well, most of us.
We're not quite off book yet, but we are getting there very quickly. Yes. And I know for a fact that I did a lot of homework. I looked into a lot of the history.
Right.
I looked into a lot of stuff with my character. I avoided watching different versions of the show because I was worried that would influence my performance.
Right. It's your performance.
And, you know, and the other misconception, I think, is that people don't get that actors in El Paso can't afford to just be actors in El Paso.
No.
They all have 2, 3, 4 jobs at a time.
Yes.
And so they're trying to study in between going to school, feeding their families, and then running to their next job. And then rehearsal.
But I think what keeps the show going, and I'm speaking as an actress, is the love for the theater. I have missed the theater for over a year and a half, and I am so excited to be back on stage. And I see this love and devotion and dedication from all of my actor counterparts and all the staff.
Oh, yeah.
We all do it because we love it. So that's how it gets done.
I have a really enthusiastic cast.
Yes.
Let me tell you, they're the best. We're having so much fun.
Yeah, we are Shakespeare nerds. Shakespeare nerds.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I think you need to be a Shakespeare nerd in order to be in 3 Shakespeare plays a year.
Or even just 2.
Or even just 2.
For me, I originally was just going to do Macbeth, and that was because it's actually not only my favorite Shakespeare play, it's one of my favorite plays, period.
Mm-hmm.
So when I heard they were doing it, I was like, yes! And then someone offered me a role in Comedy of Errors as well, because I wasn't able to go to the auditions, unfortunately. There was a show going on at the time that I was in. So I was very, very lucky and very, very happy to get a role in both plays.
That's awesome. It's just kind of worked out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was just so excited. I was blasting it on Facebook. I'm going to be Lady Macbeth. Oh, my God. I was so excited.
I was setting it in post-apocalyptic society, and I'm using a bunch of, video transitions and stuff. So there's.
So you're really having fun with this.
Yeah. Well,
the costumes are
handmade. As soon as they said, we're going to do your idea. And I was like, what? I mean, oh, great. And I started making
things. It was so crazy,
it
might just work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I started collecting from my cast as many recycled materials as I could. And we're incorporating as many recycled and reused and repurposed materials as possible in the costumes, in the weaponry, and the set.
Now, David, tell us, how do we get to the shows?
Well, the shows are all at the Chamisal. For Macbeth, it's Saturday at 7 and Sunday at 2.
Okay.
And that's also the case for Comedy of Errors, but for Midsummer Night's Dream, it's Friday and Saturday.
We can all kind of see everything. I think your website is probably the best source.
Well, actually, the Facebook page is the most up to date. The website is also shakespeareontherocks.com. But Facebook has all the information as well. You can buy the tickets online. You can find out about the cast. You can find out about some of the history. Because this is our 30th anniversary, we've posted information about previous seasons as well. So that's kind of fun. Well, and I will also say that because we started at McElligan Canyon Amphitheater, there's still some people who go there.
No, you're absolutely right.
I invariably get a call. We're here at McElligan Canyon.
What's going on?
Where's the play? So we just want to make sure that people know that we're now indoors at the Chamisal.
Which is a really important detail to have covered.
Yes. Considering of course. And location, location, location.
You all are working so hard to make sure you have amazing productions that people should go see you in the right place.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah,
yes,
definitely.
Yes, please.
Great. Well, today my guests have been – did you want to add something?
Well, just that after all the excitement of Macbeth, we're doing a traditional production of the Comedy of Errors, October 13th and 14th, and we close the season on November 9th and 10th with A Midsummer Night's Dream.
And there you have it. Today, my guests have been the folks from Shakespeare on the Rocks. We've had David Mills, Amanda Vasquez, Didi Dominguez, and John Robledo. Thank you for coming to State of the Arts.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marina.